And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 868. We're here to recap your week 18 fab, probably some other shenanigans along the way. We'll see as we do week to week on this show. But before we get there, you can follow me on Twitter at BDNTrick and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Ben Tidd, how we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, Bubba. Had spent the day golfing, as you're well aware, so just catching up, setting lineups, making adjustments, finding about Max Meyer being on the IL, several other things, but ready to go. Second half baseball is here, and it wasn't the best start to the second half for my teams over the short week, but it's we still have 10 weeks to go, so there's still time.
Yep, there's still plenty of time, and it'll come. It'll come. Like we were talking before the show, you can't be perfect every week of the season. That's just the reality. So your time, you've been pretty close to perfect up till that point. So now it's just you're going to lull them to sleep, and then you're going to come and punch them in the face. It's going to be great. And the kid will be back, and they'll remember these things. They'll remember the day the kid came back to ruin their main event. But
let's hope so.
You're not that far off, so that's why I'm not too worried about it. But speaking of the NFBC main events, online championships, we talk fab here as usual, Ben. So if you're ready, Ben likes we like to have Ben start off the show with Ryan's NFBC tracker that you can get on the Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and talk about the spending trends this past week.
Yep, and I'll have to complain to IT since there's a couple missing cells, but we can do some mental math right here. So after week 18 in the OCs, the 12-teamers, we are sitting at, I believe, $262 compared to $251 last year. That it was $9 spent on average per team, whereas last week was $14, so we're down a little bit, and it was $10 last year. So the EOCs were down compared to last week and 2025 and their weekly spending for week 18. And a little bit above balance compared to 2025 by about $9, so or $11, so not terribly far off, but a little bit more than we've been seeing. There's at least in the main event. The main event's pretty spot on. So for the main event, we are sitting at $216 per team on average, compared to $215 last year, so only off by a dollar. So incredible how that happens. It was $13 in week 18 in the main event, compared to $18 last week, and then exactly $13 in 2025 in week 18. So pretty spot on there. Always impressive. And then going back to the moves, a huge drop in the OCs. Huge. I mean, it's only four moves, but it was like roughly a third fewer moves were made in week 18 compared to 17. So average league, made 11 moves. So not even every team made a move in the OCs. It was down from 15 last week. And the main saw a big drop as well. We were down to 19 moves per league in week 18 compared to 26 last week. So pretty big drops. I was still relatively active, but I just had a lot of $3 bids, as we'll explain, I'll go over eventually, Bubba. So I think there are still moves to be made, just nothing major, really.
Yeah, no, it's we were kind of texting a little bit yesterday that a lot of my leagues was like one, two moves was all I was really looking to do because there wasn't a whole lot out there that was worth changing the roster on that I was playing with. Like in my AC, I only made one move. There just wasn't a lot out there, especially if you're looking for pitching in 15s. It's, as many people have said, not great at all. So you kind of take what you can get. And we'll see with Max Meyer hitting the IL, like you mentioned, we'll see if Braxton Ashcraft gets called up later this week because he's been dealing in AAA. He'll join the player pool. Ronel Blanco, Hayden Wesneski will join the player pool this weekend. So there'll be a couple options. Not saying they're great, but as you know, Ben, in 15s, they're in a rotation. We take our chances and see where these things go, and they will be probably heavily talked about on next week's show. As most know, we start with the OCs, but we keep talking main events along the way. Well, lately we've been talking more main events because, as you'll find out right out the gate here, in the most added player in OCs, fully rostered in main events already. So it didn't even matter here. But just for quick reference, there was when Ben mentioned fewer transactions this week in OCs, there's only one player picked up in at least 100 leagues. So you got that going for you. There were a couple of max bids, but because they were like Gage Jump was picked up for 211 in one league, Luis Castillo for 200 in one league, stuff like that. But we're focused on the volume for now, and that kicks us off with the Lane train. Lane Thomas was picked up in 100 OCs, average of $10, max 38, low as a dollar, which is funny because I told you before the show, he was one of my main targets in my OCs because I was amazed how available he was. Fully rostered in the main events. He was dropped in two OCs, actually, to make things even more entertaining. Since June 15, Lane Thomas, basically the last 30 games, hitting 259, six home runs, two steals, hitting cleanup for the Royals. He's having a heck of a run right now, so it's kind of one of those run with it while you got it. Do you have anything to add on Lane Thomas again, who was already widely rostered in all of 15s? I believe you are muted, Ben.
I'm still rusty out of the All-Star break, Bubba.
It's all good.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so not much to say about Lane Thomas. He did have a big return from the All-Star break, though. He had two homers, one steal in those three games. Actually, well, he had the steal in one game, two homers in the first two games versus the Padres. And he definitely has the profile for an OC player because he has the power and the speed. The average has typically been the biggest issue with him in his career. But yeah, like you said, he's playing all the time, hitting pretty high in the lineup. So he definitely should be rostered in OCs. He could even stick for a while, I think. I don't think he's a streamer by any means. Thomas could potentially stick around even in the OCs rest of the year. And yeah, I don't, unless he just craters, then he'd be dropped in mains at that point. But I think he's probably someone who'll be pretty valuable going down the stretch here.
Yep. Feels like he's going to have a stable spot in that lineup. And as long as he's hitting, we're good to go on that one. The next most added player in the NFBC Online Championships, Kyle Leahy of the St. Louis Cardinals, picked up in 78 OCs, average of $5, max of 21, dropped in five OCs, fully rostered in main events as well. Leahy was a popular target in the OCs with the two-step, really nice two-step at the Angels at home versus the Reds. And if you look at Leahy, Ben, he's been pretty darn serviceable overall. It's been one earned run over his last four outings. It's three earned runs or less in six of his last seven. Strikeouts close to one per nine is what you're going for there. But I think it's more of the two-step here. Anything on Mr. Kyle Leahy?
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely because of the two-step. You mentioned pretty good as of late. Four really good starts in a row. Well, the one looks like it got cut short or something. Underlying numbers aren't the best for Leahy. Last 3 weeks, pretty low swing strike rate, 8.3%. High left on base of 100%. BABIP of 211. So he's been pretty lucky there. 26% K rate, though, almost 27. But that isn't supported by the swing strike rate I mentioned before. He's got to hit hard. But it's a pretty decent two-step, despite just being a two-step, that is. Angels, Reds, so, and Reds and St. Louis. So I like it. I think I played him in my DCs, and he's been scooped up in 15s and held because that's how bad things have been. So on the year, decent numbers, just the whip's a little high, 1.41, but the ERA hasn't hurt yet, 3.73. So I like this, and I don't know if I would hold him in the OCs after the two-step, but Leahy should be probably held in 15s, I think, and if he does really well after this week, maybe do hold him in those OCs if you don't need to make a move, but he has pretty limited upside, I think.
Yeah, in OCs, pretty much not needed after this week. 15's 100%. Like, I'm rostering Ryan Johnson, like, religiously. So Kyle Leahy, he's an upgrade even on that. And so that should answer most questions, at least in my world, when it comes to Mr. Leahy. Next most added player in the OCs, Zach, without an H anymore, Thornton of the New York Mets, picked up in 68 OCs, average of $12, max of 41, picked up in 15 mains. We talked about him last week as one of the bigger pickups in mains. Average of $20, max of 40, dropped in two OCs. Thornton had that big start on the Sunday before the break, seven shutout games with five Ks against Boston, gets Milwaukee on Tuesday, and then it's, when does Clay Holmes return? That's what kind of just dampened my appeal to him a little bit. Maybe I should have just said screw it and go for it, but it feels like there's not a whole lot of room for him to stick around unless something changes in New York, Ben.
Let me pull up the Mets step chart. They have who else?
They could trade Peralta. There's Manaea.
Yeah, I'm so out of tune with the Mets pitching. I was thinking, well, I don't have him either, but I was thinking Sango is a thing still, but he's in the bullpen now. So yeah, it could be. Yeah, Thornton could be the first one out, like, to your point, but who knows? I guess I wouldn't have overspent then, but 12 average is pretty fair in the OCs, and then 20 in the main is even pretty good as well. So I don't think anyone really overspent for Thornton, and yeah, good start to his career, but I will say a little bit of luck as well. Decent, better swinging strike rate than Kyle Leahy. It was 11% for Thornton. But even more fortunate, BABIP left on base, 111 BABIP against, and 100% left on base for Thornton. So he's gotten very lucky with those results, but he's limited the hard contact, 16.7% hard hit in those three starts, xERA of 210. So when people are hitting the ball, they're not hitting it hard at all, but I don't know how sustainable that is. And the swing strike rate isn't terrible, so I think the K rate of 20% could probably elevate a little bit if he keeps missing bats the way he is. So I definitely like Thornton for now. I was a little upset, I think, when we talked about him last week, that I didn't get him anywhere or didn't really realize he was a thing. But maybe the regression hits and then he has a couple blowups with that BABIP and left on base correcting. But at this point in the year, it's worth the gamble. So I like the ads, even the OCs.
Yep. Nope. No problem there. Maybe I should have focused more on him, but I was more on the Leahy two step in an OC and seeing where it goes from there. Brandon Pfaadt picked up in 61 OCs this past week, average of 8, max of 39. He was dropped in 2 mains, picked up in 1 main, and dropped in 3 OCs. So that's where we're at this time of the year. Pfaadt's made 4 starts since coming back from AAA after getting stretched out. It's 5 innings and 5 or 5 1/3 in each of his starts. 5 total earned runs over 21 innings. Not a lot of the strikeout department, Ben. That's what concerns me with Brandon Pfaadt. It feels like a little smoke and mirror these days, but very popular pickup.
I agree. I believe we talked about him last week as well. So he has compared to who we talked about before, Leahy and Thorne, Pfaadt has the worst swing strike rate the last 3 weeks, 6.6%. And that's driving those low K numbers you're talking about, 15.7% over that time. He's not walking anybody, 1.2%, so that's why he's doing pretty well. So if he can keep limiting the walks, Pfaadt could be okay. But I wasn't too upset. I didn't get him last week. I had bids in for him in my 15s, and I think he had the two-step last week, if I'm not mistaken. It was the week before. So I don't know. This, like, the low Ks are concerning, and the swing strike rate isn't high at all. So I think it could get ugly for him. He's facing the Cardinals this week, which isn't the worst. But if I were to update this, who's he have next week? He's Pfaadt at Pittsburgh. And then even though it's a 6-start week and he's pitching on Tuesday, or 6-game week, he's pitching on Tuesday, they have him as the Sunday starter as well for Tuesday. So I don't understand who would be out of the rotation. But I think Pfaadt could get blown up very easily. I don't know if I would do it in an OC. I didn't even really want to add him in my 15s, but I could be wrong. He has to start missing more bats. Otherwise, it's going to be kind of ugly eventually.
Yeah, Pfaadt was way down the waterfall for me. It was like, if it came down to it, sure, was not a priority for me this week at all. Next up, Luis Lara of the Milwaukee Brewers picked up in 57 OCs, average of 13, max of 68. Picked up in 12 mains, average of 28, max of 47. He was popular there last week. He was dropped in 9 OCs and dropped in 1 main. And I think we might see more drops if things don't change this week, Ben, because Lara still isn't playing every day. He's hitting .273, which is fine. 1 stolen base. He's not running a ton either. We thought there'd be tons of playing time with Sal Frelick hitting the IL, but Jake Bowers has moved to the outfield and Andrew Vaughn is playing a ton. So what's your thoughts on this Lara situation? Because like I said, he could be one of the bigger drops coming up if that PT doesn't change.
Agreed. So you basically mentioned where I was going to go with the I can't think of his name right now, Sal Frelick injury, and then that in my mind that would have meant that Lara was in the outfield. But yeah, they seem to want to play Andrew Vaughn, which he's been hitting the ball pretty well. Vaughn, he doesn't have a ton of power or like homers to show for it, but I don't know. I think one of the talking points we had with Lara last time we talked about him was that he has a contract. And then we were trying to figure out the playing time with the doubleheaders last week. And after him, so he only started 1 game, Lara, in the last 5. And that was in right. So, and they were all left, all righties on the mound. And I think he's a switch hitter, at least. So you would have thought that he'd be playing versus them. But Vaughn getting the last 2 starts versus righties is a little telling in my mind. So I think there's a good chance the drops increase for him next week. And at this point, I'm not really upset that I missed out on Lara, just because, like I said last week, the playing time is definitely even less of a given now. So he could just be a waste of money at this point.
Yep, full agree there. Next most added player in the OCs, Shane Bieber, picked up in 54 OCs, high of 87, average of 15, picked up in 5 mains, average of 69, high of 41, dropped in 1 OC as well. Biebs threw 6 shutout innings and 2 walks and 6 Ks against the White Sox. First start out of the break. Got everybody quite excited on that one because it's wasn't overly stimulating before that when it came to Bieber. So I still wasn't that excited about Shane Bieber. Maybe I'm missing out here. Maybe I think it's just one good start. It's going to be a roller coaster ride of emotions. But we'll see. He gets the Rays this week, which is a coin toss in most spots. And he's at Washington next week, which I wouldn't start him there. What were your thoughts on the Shane Bieber excitement?
He was not available in my 15s. No one dropped him after the clunkers to open his season. And even so, even after this good start versus the White Sox, Bieber has a 19-12 K to walk in 23 innings. So that's not very good at all, Bubba. And sure, it's encouraging. A big name pitcher came back from injury, has a decent start versus the White Sox, who have been a good offense, but just too many walks for him. And he could turn it around, Bieber, but I'm just not very optimistic. So I'm not really upset either that I haven't added him anywhere. Don't have him on any teams. And the OC price of 15 average, that's fine. But yeah, the 69 in the mains, I know the dynamics are different there as I play there exclusively, but in the 15s at least. And I think they're just overpaying for the start and the name. I don't know if Bieber's that good yet, but you have to take that chance. I would have taken the chance for like 30 maybe, or 20, but especially with the way the budgets are now, I wouldn't have paid that much for Bieber. So it could work out, but I'm not too confident about it.
Yep. Full agree with you there. Next most added player in OC is this one snuck up on me. Stephen Kwan picked up in 52 OCs, average of 10, high of 57. He's picked up in nine mains, average of 17, high of 41. So it made me dig in. And since July 1st, he's hit safely in all but two games, Stephen Kwan, hitting .436. He's got three steals, no power, of course, but at least kind of reminding us of why we liked Stephen Kwan before was the average. He's scoring runs, stealing bags, no power steal. But what are your thoughts on what we've seen from Stephen Kwan? Because, again, it's been about a three-week sample size of pretty good production.
Yeah, I'll say from June 23rd, he only has three hitless games. So almost a month, he only has three hitless games, Kwan. So he's doing much better. I actually was looking to add him finally, and he wasn't available in two of my leagues. I didn't bid enough on him. Kwan went for 20s. I was below 10 for him just because he has no power, and he hasn't hit a home run since week three. He has one home run the year. So if you can afford a zero on power with Kwan, then the ad makes sense. If you need average, he's probably the best one you'll find on the waiver wire all season at this point, especially. And so I was interested, but just not that much. And just got to make sure that your team can afford that that production and the profile that Kwan brings, because you're basically looking at 20 or 13 roster spots now for power, because he's not going to get hit anything, I don't think so. But it's good to see him being productive again, Kwan, because it looked pretty bleak for a while. But yeah, he's turning things on, probably a little too late, but definitely a good stretch. And I just don't need that profile on my team, so that's why I wasn't too aggressive.
Yep, same here. Wasn't even on the radar for me for what I'm looking for. I need guys that can help in 4 to 5 categories is where I'm looking at these days. We don't have to discuss him. We talked about him last week, but Clay Holmes picked up in 44 OCs, average of 9, max of 50. Picked up in 21 mains, average of 17, high of 59. He's going to start a rehab assignment. Probably going to need about 3 or 4 starts. We'll see. RotoWire has him projected to rejoin the rotation next week. Maybe he does. I'd still be kind of surprised there. I feel like he needs at least 2 rehab starts, if not 3. If you want, the floor is yours if you have anything else to add on Clay Holmes.
I think we talked about him in the main events a week or two, right?
Yeah, last week, because he's picked up a lot there. He's picked up in 21 more main events this week.
Yeah. Really, it's kind of like he's kind of just an ERA helper because the K rate's so low. He was basically 21% this year before he got hurt with a 8% walk rate. So 12.6 K minus walk on the year for Holmes isn't very good. His whip is better than it was the last couple years. It's been 110. The BABIP has been very low, though, 250, high left on base, 82%. So he could end up hurting you in the ERA. I don't think – he's definitely not a 239 ERA pitcher, which is what he has been. But all the estimators are pretty good at all below 4 for Holmes because of the high ground ball rate. So if he's your only stash or one of 2 stashes, I think I'm fine with it just to see what may happen, because he got hurt. I think he broke his leg or something like that, Holmes. It wasn't like an arm injury or anything along those lines. So it's nothing that he can't come back from and be successful relatively easily, I don't think, injury wise. So I get it. He was scooped up well a lot earlier in my 15, so I wasn't able to add Holmes, but I haven't really been a big fan of his anyway since he switched to a starter. He's been fine, but just not the best profile, just because mainly, like I said, that whip's been a killer the last couple of years. But
yeah,
he and doesn't get a lot of strikeouts either, so it's fine. I think he's more of a streamer, especially in 12s, Holmes. In 15s, he's probably someone you kind of just bench stream in the right spots. But at this point, we know how bad pitching is, so it's worth a shot, I think.
Yep. That takes us to Robert Gasser. Robert Gasser is picked up in 42 OCs, average of 7, high of 33. He was picked up in 3 main events, average of 22, high of 39. He was dropped in 7 OCs. Gasser had a really strong start against the Miami Marlins, 5 innings, 1 run, 5 Ks. That was after a disaster against Pittsburgh. Prior to that, was quite serviceable in the Milwaukee rotation. He's expected to get the Road Rockies later this week, and then it's kind of up in the air with Kyle Harrison potentially returning rather soon. Well, we'll see how his next bullpen goes and what the decisions are on a potential rehab start or not in Milwaukee. But Gasser should get a start against Colorado this week, and then we'll see from there. Any thoughts on Gasser? I know I will discuss him later, as he was a focal point of one of my pickups this week.
Yes, you were asking for feedback on price ranges, and it seemed to be successful, so that's good. Just looking at his game log, Gasser seems like he's gotten unlucky, because a lot decent K numbers in most of his starts, and he's, since June 3rd, he's only had 2 starts with two walks. Everything else has been 1 or 0, so he's not putting base runners on. And in the last 3 weeks, Gasser's walk rate is 2.2%, so he's done a really good job of limiting the base runners that way. But despite that, the swing and miss isn't quite there. 8.7% swing strike rate in that time is leading to a 19% K rate. Because the walks are so low, though, the K minus walk is almost 17%, which is pretty solid. So I think he was a decent prospect, and he's on a good team. So I think Gasser is worth an add. I think he was added on my leagues the week prior. Yeah, week 17, so 2 weeks or a week ago. So I missed out there, and I think that last start kind of scared me off a little bit on him. The 21 ERA, the 7 runs, 3 innings versus the Pirates. Marlins are definitely the Marlins aren't the worst lineup either, but at least he did well there. But it's worth a shot. I don't know if I prefer Gasser to Holmes. I like Gasser's upside better than Fott for sure, and Leahy. Bieber's a toss up because of the past performances, it seems like Gasser is safe, though, right, for now?
Well, for now, like, eventually it looks like Harrison will take his spot in the rotation. And
oh, yeah.
Harrison's going to throw a bullpen, I believe, Tuesday. They're debating a rehab start. So, like, if somehow Gasser gets hosed this whole week, would be amazing. I don't know why they would rush Harrison back. That seems silly at this point in time. Like, really take it easy with him. But the Brewers are kind of dangling different options there. But they're also already saying they're going to kind of work with Miz's workload a little bit and some other things. So they got a lot of young arms. And Logan Henderson, his last start, had a cramp in his forearm, which we don't want to see. So there's room, I think, for Gasser to get a lot more starts than we think right now.
And Sproto's a 5.16 ERA, so he's been pretty bad.
Yes. They just love him. It feels like every time there's a chance to move him from the rotation, they seem to leave Sproat in, and Gasser's been the main guy going to AAA this year.
Yeah. It must be because they went out and got and traded for Sproat. I don't know. It's kind of like what the Yankees do. They go after a guy, and they're stubborn about playing him and proving that they were right. So maybe that's what the Brewers are doing with Sproat.
Maybe. All right, next most added player in the OCs, Matthew Liberatore, picked up in 42 OCs, average of 6, high of 27, picked up in 2 mains, average of 17, high of 22, dropped in 1 OC. Liberatore has that nice two-step we talked about, Leahy at the Angels versus the Reds. Liberatore is like a boom or bust pitcher. It's been no runs, 3 runs, 1 run, 6 runs, 5, 4, 3. But he's got tons of strikeout potential, really good matchups. Seems like a pretty solid two-start stream on paper.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he's been very hot and cold. 16.7% K minus walk last 3 weeks for Liberatore, which is kind of in line with Gasser, I believe it was. And that's mainly driven by a 27% K rate. So that's also why he's pretty appealing. And that's relatively supported by just below 12% swing strike rate for Liberatore last 3 weeks. This year, the X are kind of high. The X rate is very good, though, 305. That's a good sign. He's missing a lot in the zone. pretty low Z contact for Liberatore. So some pretty good metrics, probably one of the better sets that we've seen so far tonight, last 3 weeks. And yeah, I think I have him in a DC. That's the only spot I have Liberatore. I think I played him. I'm not going to miss out on this two-step the way pitching is going. But despite all that, his ERA in the year is still 4.94, whips 1.47. So it's been a overall bad year for Liberatore, only 5 wins and fewer than a K per inning. So he's has upside. He's definitely a little unpolished still. But he's 26, so it's not completely over yet. But for now, the stream makes sense for the two-step week. But kind of like with Leahy, I think Liberatore is probably is more likely to stick in OCs than Leahy is because of the K upside. But if Liberatore doesn't have a good week, then just definitely throw him back into the free agent pool in OCs. And 15 is like the main. It's probably harder to cut him just because there's so few options available. And he's a pretty stable pitcher and for the Cardinals. But he's definitely a bench streamer in 15's Liberatore.
All right, we're about to switch over to the main event focus. But PJ in the chat says, did Mike Poy Connolly Early make the OC list? Well, just so you, since you asked so nicely, Connolly Early was picked up in 7 OCs, high of 49, average of 20, picked up in 1 main event for $52. Connolly Early was dropped in 7 OCs and dropped in 1 main event to probably not help you much at all if you're asking questions. He picked up in 7 OCs, dropped in 7 OCs, picked up in 1 main, dropped in 1 main. Lots of questions still to be had with Mr. Connolly Early as well. All right, let's shift over to the main event, the most added player in the main event this week, and it's only 35 leagues. So that goes to tell you more to things aren't happening as often. Plus, it's a catcher. I'll give a little bit of credit there. A lot of people might not be looking for catchers, but Harry Ford was picked up in 35 main events, Ben, average of $10, high of 39. Ford was picked up in 35 OCs as well, high of 21, average of 4. Harry Ford started 2 or 3 games over the weekend in Sacramento. Picked up 3 hits, a home run, and a steal, getting the start on Monday as well in Coors Field. But I will preface this, and I said this when he was called up. All 3 starts so far have been versus left-handed pitch, and he sat versus the righty. I still feel there's a platoon with Kiber Ruiz going on there. Maybe Harry Ford forces the issue, and it's not a thing. But I guess for the week with Coors in play, not a bad target to see what you can do.
I agree. Yeah. As you're talking about Ford, I looked up and I saw the same thing with the playing time. Roster Resource believes that he is a short side platoon with Kiebert Ruiz. I'm going to Prospects Live for the King. He also thinks that Ruiz is the starter and Harry Ford is the platoon partner versus lefties. So, and on top of that, well, for me this past week, I had Ford as like a potential name eventually, but then I realized, okay, well, I'm pretty good at catcher. And had I looked into it, I did remember seeing the 2 lefties to start out before today's game. And that had me a little concerned with the playing time just because the 1 righty went to Ruiz. So I know they like Ruiz. He's had a much better bounce back year this season compared to the last couple. Ford's a good prospect. They gave him a decent amount for him, I believe. I forget who the trade was, but it was a big trade at the time, and Ford's a big prospect, so maybe it's just they're just trying to get his feet wet, and then maybe he's a starter next year. But it seems like Ruiz is the main target, so especially in an OC. Well, actually, no, we're doing main events now, so in the mains, maybe it makes more sense because of how deep the player pool is for the catchers. I think guys are still kind of hurt. I don't know. I don't think Jeffers is back yet, and I'm not sure who else is out. Oh, is he back? Okay.
Yeah,
I don't have Jefferson. There you go. That's why I don't know. Yeah, because Caratini has been dropped. Yeah, so I Ford could be a pickup. I mean, a decent pickup, but I think the platoon is a real thing. So I wasn't too aggressive.
Yep, same here on Mr. Ford. All right, next most added player in the main event, Tim, the tool man, Tawa, picked up in 31 main events, high of 36, average of 9. Picked up in 28 OCs, average of 7, high of 19. Tawa was also dropped in 1 main and dropped in 1 OC. It's been a recent hot streak for Tawa. He's hit safely in 4 out of 6 with 3 home runs and a steal. Wasn't doing much prior to that, but he's getting plenty of playing time between first base and the outfield. He's starting in center field, batting 3rd on Monday night. While he's swinging it well, I was interested.
Yes, and you took him in the Gladiator as well.
Yes, so that was that whole Gladiator. I'm looking back on the Gladiator draft thinking, and I was sober. That was the worst part. Yeah,
that's that was a whole other
podcast.
Yep. I think he was Mr. Irrelevant, right? He was the last pick for you, and you were
possibly yes.
Yeah, but he had a pretty good stretch there of playing almost every day at first base. It's so roster resource thinks that he is the starting first baseman. I think when we last time we looked, let's see what Curlin has him at. Curlin still thinks Tawa is the first baseman. I'm questioning it because Carroll was out today on Monday. He hyperextended his elbow. And then Tawa went to center field and Walshmit moved from center to it's all scrambled up the outfield. I think they called Barroso up. He's playing right field for Carroll. So with Carroll out, it's a little uncertain with what the alignment will be for the defense, because Locklear had started the last two games. He started on Sunday and now he's starting versus a lefty tonight. I think Locklear is left-handed and he's playing first base both those games.
Yep.
So that's interesting that he's starting versus a lefty.
I'm guessing that's just because Tawa's in center because of Carroll.
Yeah, because Kepler's sitting and Del Castillo are sitting and they're strict platoon bats. And I guess the only other option would be to have like McCann play, but it looks like they're giving Marte a day off today. So yeah, I think the only potential way Tawa sits is if they have Locklear play versus righties. But the way Tawa's been playing, I don't know if they'll do that. So for $9 in the main event, I think it's a fine chance to take. The 36 is a little high, but he also has three at position eligibility, first, second, and outfield Tawa, and that's really nice at this point in the year. So it's worth it. I didn't look to add him too aggressively, whether it was last week or this week, but I could see it working out because he did have a pretty good week a couple weeks ago, I believe. He had the stat line. Yeah, before the All-Star break, it was two homers and a steal and 18 at-bats. So that was a pretty good week for Tawa. So he has the upside. I know he had a pretty good minor league career or a year or two ago. So I think it's worth the gamble. So maybe I missed out, but it's a little too early to see.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it's going to be a very streaky profile, but if the playing time's there, it could be pretty sweet. Next most added player in the main event, Joey Ortiz, the Milwaukee Brewers, picked up in 28 leagues. High of 15, average of $5. Joey Ortiz picked up in 11 OCs, high of 11, average of 3. Dropped in one main event. Joey Ortiz, he plays every single day at third base. Some little shortstop action. Since July 1st, Ortiz hitting .292, two homers and two steals. He's a 15-team profile. He's a corner infield, middle infield, kind of fill-in with injuries. Like if you had an Otto Lopez or somebody where you just wanted to have some security, even Jeremy Pena, not knowing. Like if you want some job security, Ortiz felt like a decent guy to roster this week.
Yeah, I was looking for a third baseman in a spot, and Ortiz appeared on that of the players who could have filled that need. Also, he stood out to me because the Brewers, per Ryan's Weekly Planner, had a pretty good matchup this week. Opponent pitchers, because he's facing the Mets with Freddie Thorne and Scott. But then the real appealing part is the Colorado games. Yeah, I don't think they're in Coors, but still, it's Sagano, Feltner, and Freeland. So great matchups. But then I dug a little deeper, and Ortiz has pretty horrible underlying metrics. His barrel rate's 3.8%. His xLUG's 341. The xBA is 241. The only thing he really has going for him is that he's not striking out a lot. But despite that, his xBA is 241, and he's been pretty fast still. So he has 7 barrels on the year and 4 homers. So that barrel rate's just – I was looking for a little more power where I needed third base help, and that's not a good profile. That's not a good match when you're looking at Joey Ortiz. So the week, at least this week, was pretty appealing, and he's been hot. But I think it's kind of like a fluky hot streak for Ortiz, and he had been pretty bad most of the year. So I'm just surprised he's playing still at this point. But he's been playing better. I'll give him that. I just don't see it maybe sustaining.
Yeah, no, it's kind of a pump and dump thing when it comes to Ortiz. Take it for the good week, maybe two, and move on is where I would see that one. For those keeping track at home, the Peaky Blinder now has 2 home runs tonight, and Cleveland has 6 home runs in the first 4 innings against Joe Ryan. Amazing stuff. Just a great way to kick off the week for the Joe Ryan two-step. All right, next most added player in the main events, Tommy Tanks. Tommy White picked up in 24 main events, high of 24, average of 7. Tommy White picked up in 5 OCs, average of 5, high of 12. Only 5 OCs tells you a lot on that. Only 24 mains tells you a lot when it comes to Tommy Tanks. He started the 2 out of 3 over the weekend, for the A's, picked up a double on the opener, didn't do anything on Sunday, getting the start again on Monday against the D-backs. Really good profile in the minors, hits for a lot of some decent pop, some speed, good batting average. Trying to see where it pans out. It looks like the playing time's there, Ben, while Nick Kurtz is out for Mr. Tommy Tanks.
Yeah, Bubba, I had him as a potential add, but then he sat the one game versus the righty on Saturday. He is right-handed. He played first base versus two lefties and the one righty on Friday when he first got called up. I'm just trying to figure out who would be the lefty over him. I don't know. So Soderstrom could play first, but I think it's dependent on when Kurtz gets back ultimately, because versus that righty, McNeil actually played first base. It was the only time that he's played first base, I think, in a while, McNeil. But it's dependent on once Kurtz is back, like I said, for White. And so because of that, and I saw he sat versus the one righty, I wasn't too aggressive. I had him for maybe $3, $4, if that, in my bid list where I needed a corner. So, I mean, it's good. It's good home park, but this week they're not in Sacramento, unfortunately. A couple of lefties, though, at least to start the week, and then just prelip potentially on the weekend for Tommy White. But I just don't know how long he'll be around, and they were already kind of crunched for at bats. I know the Rooker injury kind of helped free up some space for the A's, but I just don't see. I mean, McNeil still shouldn't be playing.
No, the fact he's still out there is annoying as all get up.
Yeah, but corners. I guess Kuroda Grauer could move off at third, and then White could play third. I think he was a third baseman, right?
Yeah, he was a third baseman. They love Kuroda Grauer, though. JKG's.
Well, he could go to second, though, over McNeil, I think.
Well, yeah. Well, Geloff's supposed to get his stitches out on Tuesday, so I wouldn't think he's going to miss much time after he can use his knee again. He's only out because it had stitches in it, not like he damaged anything. So. Mm-hmm. Like that was Geloff was playing second base a lot before he got hurt, playing second base and outfield. So,
yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. Going back to White, though, for now, it's a good stream. I just wouldn't have to spend a lot. Like I said, I had pretty low bids on him. And it looks like I didn't even see him. What's his average?
It was. Did you read it? His main event average $7. Is $7.
Yeah. Min of two. So, I would have been in the low side for sure. But, third base has been tough. That's another appealing thing. I had trouble filling third base out. But even in the spot where I really needed a third baseman, I don't think I had a bid in for him. I had Jose Fermin, and I had a short bid list adding people to replace Fermin just because Fermin has been pretty good. And I'm not really sure what you're going to get with White, especially as a rookie.
Yep. I agree on all of that. It's just I like the skills. We'll see, though, because the A's are actually rumored to be in the trade world of even like the guys of Shea Langeliers and company. So there might be time for the young kids if they pull the trigger on some surprising trades. Ryan Zephyrjohn, we're doing it again. I don't want to hear anybody make fun of my Jordan Romano ads anymore if you're adding Angels closers. Ryan Zephyrjohn was picked up in 23 main events, average of 20, high of 66. Picked up in 16 OCs, average of 7, high of 23. Zephyrjohn got the save on Sunday after allowing a solo home run. He held on for the save, picked up a hold on Friday. First hold or save since June 28th. So put that into perspective for 2 seconds for you. Zephyrjohn might be their best option. I did mention on the Fab show, and Yates got pulled because he blew a save, but Yates' skills have actually been really good, swing and miss-wise, of late. To me, it's still a mess, and I don't believe anybody's the set closer in Anaheim at this point in time.
It felt like it was going to be Yates for a while, right? Because he was kind of getting...
He was getting the reps and doing well, and then one blown save, they yanked him pretty quickly. I was kind of surprised.
It is surprising. Adding Zephyrjohn kind of feels like the Charlie Brown and Lucy with the football gif. He does have 31 walks in 46 innings, Zephyrjohn, which is horrible. Despite that, though, he has a 1.20 whip, so it looks like he's been pretty lucky with the BABIP. Yeah, three saves now. I think Romano still has more on the year. So it's – I could use help in closers. I still have Sean Newcomb on that one main event. I did not look to upgrade this week at all in closers. It was just no one out there. I just don't think Zephyrjohn is it. Just going at our resources that are out there. Roster Resource has it as a committee with him, but Bachman and Yates. Closer Monkey has it as Zephyrjohn, Bachman, and that's it. Then they don't even have Yates part of the committee, which is kind of wild. But I could see Yates hitting a save pretty quickly as well. And he's probably fully rostered still. He's, I doubt he's available. So that kind of tells you a lot, I think, that the fact, well, the, just that Yates is still rostered. So I don't know why. Yeah, well, Yates is 82% in the mains, so probably lower in the OCs, but he has much better numbers, ERA, at least whip-wise. Eh, it's not much better, but I think Yates is a better pitcher than Zephyr John right now, so it's just weird. I don't know. I wouldn't have wasted the move or the money on him.
Yeah, no, I wasn't overly excited on the Zephyr John thing. Like I said, I picked up Romano the week before, so I can't talk, but I just don't want to hear it the other
you
direction.
Me both.
It's where I'm at on that. We're all playing in the yellow pool, if that makes sense. I'm going to skip past the next two. It's we talked Clay Holmes already. Gleyber Torres, Marcus Semien, they both came off the IL. I wasn't interested there. I'll give you the floor if you'd like to talk about them. But they were just added because they're back. And I'd rather have Torres over Semien if I had to pick between the two.
I would. Let's see if they were available for me.
They're both picked up in 21 leagues.
Yeah, so Torres was available in my New Jersey main. I did not look to add him. And then Semien, he was available in my New Jersey main as well and my third main event. I did not look to, actually, no, he was dropped in my third main event, Semien. So, yeah, I agree. I'd rather have Torres, but this has been a lost year for him. No power. Average has been fine, but doesn't steal. So I think this comeback next year for Torres. And Semien, he kind of was breaking out for a while, but then he's kind of slumped again pretty hard. And could they trade him probably? I don't know if they could with that contract.
I think they'll try.
Yeah. Suck playing for the Mets, but they have Polanco now. Then we're talking about, well, before we recorded, the outfield crunch with Robert Jr. back. He's now bench is sitting tonight and Robert should DH, but Polanco's it's just a mess with the Mets. So I wouldn't have been too aggressive on Semien or Gleyber, I don't think. Well, I wasn't, so that's my answer.
Answers that one real easily. Next up would be Mitch Bratt of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's picked up in 20 main events, high of 21, average of 6. Picked up in 5 OCs, average of 6, high of 14. Bratt's expected to get a two-step A's at home in Arizona, then at the Nationals. Bratt's a lefty, if anybody is curious. Bratt made a spot start on July 12th. Well, he's made two spot starts, 3 innings on both starts, allowed 4 in runs, 5 walks, 3 strikeouts. Good ratios in the minors, just not a heavy strikeout arm, Ben. Any interest in a guy like Mitch Bratt? He was well down my pitching waterfalls.
Yeah, I actually am starting him in 2 main events, the New Jersey one and the third one. I had him, I think, last week in one of the two, and I added him in the other one this past Sunday, so we'll cover that. Just for the volume, and I know he had good minor league numbers, but the first two starts of the majors haven't been too promising for Bratt because they both won 3 innings. But I know he has a pretty good prospect upside, and I wanted volume in those two spots, and I was willing to take the chance. And the A's in Arizona, not the best, but at least they're on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Nationals they're doing it, but I don't know. I'm not sure how they are versus lefties, but I just wanted the volume. And Bratt was one of the better two-step options in 15. So that's why I went for him. It could go wrong, but I'm willing to take the risk.
Oh my God. Esmeralda Valdez just hit a bomb to right center field. Good Lord.
That's how it's 5-3. I missed those
there runs. They showed the replay right now. Good. That was crushed to right. Like Oppo power. Insanity. Yeah, the Ryan Weathers, Braxton Ashcraft start to my week is not going well. That is called returning to the norm, as I told you before the show. This was going to happen. Didn't think it'd be like this. Eric Miller, next most added player in the main events, picked up in 20 leagues. Average of 7, high of 16. Miller picked up in 11 OCs. Average of 3, high of 15. Dropped in 1 OC. People are speculating on the Giants' closing situation as Miller had one of the last saves before the break. The Giants didn't have a save over the weekend in Seattle. I don't know. I've said it all year. I'm not even going to try to dance with the Giants' closing situation. Miller might be the best option for now. They had Caleb Killian for a while, but that's gone up in flames. Any thoughts on the Giants' closing situation with Eric Miller?
I'll just say, Zephyr John, I didn't look to add any closers this past week, so I did not look to add Miller. It's a committee and roster resource with Miller, Killian, and JT Brubaker, which is surprising. Yeah, no saves in the last 6 days. Well, the All-Star break kind of ruined that. So, and then Closer Monkey has it as Eric Miller leading the committee with Dylan Smith also in there, a different name. So nobody knows. I don't think even Torey Vitolo knows. So, yeah, I would stay away.
Yep. Next most added player in the main events, Ty France, San Diego Padres starting first baseman, picked up in 19 mains, high of 27, average of 15, picked up in 39 OCs, high of 21, average of 6. I was surprised he's available in that many 15s, honestly. France has entered Monday with a 7-game hitting streak, was hitting 458 with 4 home runs. He's been on a monster tear this year, Ben. It's been quite impressive with Mr. France on the season at 277 with 14 home runs. I was very interested if I needed a first base or a corner infielder this week.
I could have used this. This kind of hurts because I was looking at France in the – so he had 2 homers in week 13 and week 14, but I didn't really trust it. And then he just keeps playing, and I could use those 4 homers the last 2 weeks that he's had. It's been a good stretch for France. I'm going to pull up his Statcast to see how sustainable this is because he hasn't played a lot this year. He has 14 homers, but considering his at-bats, it's pretty good. All right, yeah, so pretty good Statcast for France. XBA is only 248, which is funny because he's typically been a pretty good average asset in fantasy. So his 275 average seems kind of lucky per that. But 92 mile per hour exit velocity on average. His barrel rate is 11.5% in the year. That's pretty good. 49% hard hit. And the X slug's 452. So it's kind of, the power is kind of justified, or it's supported by his underlying metrics. And if I go to the Padres lineup tracker, yeah, he's basically full time. So hitting fourth for the Padres behind Machado, Merrill, and Tatis, it's a pretty good spot if they all hit well, but they're all not. But despite that, France is still producing. So yeah, I'm a little upset I didn't add him when I thought about it. I just didn't believe it, and kind of paying for it a little bit, but that's all right. You can't get them all right.
Yeah, that is sadly true. Another spec closing situation, Michael Peterson of the Miami Marlins. Pete Fairbanks continues to give up runs and blow saves. Michael Peterson's picked up in 18 main events, high of 15, average of 7, picked up in 9 OCs, average of 8, high of 13, dropped in 1 main event. Could be an even more popular move if Fairbanks struggles this week. Michael Peterson has 17 holds this year, Ben, which is pretty darn impressive. Since just, you know, July 1st alone, he has 4 holds and 6 outings on the season. He also has a 20% K to walk. He seems to be the next man in line wherever I look at stuff, so I wanted to bring him up for the listeners in case something they can keep an eye on the rest of the week. But has Michael Peterson made it to your radar just yet?
I remember hearing the name a week or two ago. I haven't made a move to stash him yet. I haven't gone that route yet in Fab. When's the trade deadline? The 3rd, I think. So that's 2 weeks from now. Maybe this upcoming Sunday, I'll start looking to do that because there's going to be a mad rush come on the 2nd of August. Right before that, people are going to try to scoop every spec possible to see what happens. So he'll definitely be gone by then, Peterson, if he's not already gone in every league. He is, I don't have the percent up, but he's probably still available in some 15s, definitely in OCs. So yeah, the numbers are pretty good. He's a pretty good ERA, pretty good whip, pretty good strikeout ratio compared to his innings, and the walks aren't really that high either. So it looks like a good reliever. Never heard of him until this year, and he's 32. So he's been around, hasn't really been around that long though. So he's kind of a late bloomer. So yeah, he's probably one of the better stashes. I don't know. The Marlins, I don't know. I don't have Fairbanks. So I don't know how bad it's been, but he does have the 7 ERA is pretty horrible. Been a little unlucky though. The BABIP's 329, left on base is 56% for Fairbanks, but the Marlins probably don't really care about that because he's just blowing games for them. So I don't know. The velocity is still there. The Ks are up from the last 2 years for him. Just some bad luck, it seems like, for Fairbanks, but even so, the XERA and the FIP are still above 5. The XFIP is 431. His Sierra is 348. So Sierra really likes Peter Fairbanks. I don't know if the Marlins do that much anymore, but for the spec, I think definitely prefer Peterson over Eric Miller, for example.
There you go. As far as I'm going to go, I would take Peterson as a major spec. I maybe would even speculate on a Padres closer if Mason Miller gets traded over Eric Miller. Stuff like that is where I'd be honing my options. PJ in the chat is a Marlins fan, says Fairbanks is awful. all he does is walk people. So that's a guy that's probably watched the blown saves recently and has had enough of that situation. Okay, I got to get your thoughts on this one. Pedro Martinez of the Chicago Cubs picked up in 16 mains, high of 24, average of 7, picked up in 2 OCs for $5 and $2 basically is what that one comes down to. Pedro Martinez started 3 straight games. That includes Monday's game. He had multiple hits in the games on Saturday and Sunday. DH playing third base on Monday. The King, this is why I wanted to bring this up. The King is touting everywhere that, hey, I saw this coming. Playing time's opening up for Pedro Ramirez. So I wasn't in on this. I think the hit tools in the minor leagues are great, but playing time has been an utter disaster. Maybe the playing time's coming. What are your thoughts on Pedro Ramirez?
So when you said Martinez at first, I'm like, oh, wow. Like,
I screwed up. It's just an automatic Freudian slip on that one.
you caught it nicely, though. So yep. I'm looking at the lineup tracker. I'm surprised people added him because he had 2 DH starts in a row, Saturday, Sunday, Ramirez. Let me go to the full lineup tracker. Before that, it's not the Cubs. Let me go to the Cubs. He hadn't started a game since June 25th, and people added him after 2 games at DH, which is kind of wild. So I was not in on Pedro Ramirez at all. What's his price? Pedro. $7 is cheap. So but he also has third base eligibility, kind of the same thing with Tommy White I said before. It's appealing. I did not have Ramirez in my bid list for third base help or even second base. I was looking to add a second baseman, as we'll get to. Good average so far. He has 2 steals, so out of position speed with that third base eligibility. 1 homer and 64 at bats. So he has hit a homer so far, but so who would he be playing over? So it looks like they're sitting. I guess Shaw being hurt, but they weren't even doing that before. I guess before they were just kind of mixing people in and out, it seems like.
Yeah, it's kind of a messy situation in Chicago. That's why I wasn't really on it. I just wanted to kind of half give the King a shout / decide to see if you were opposite him, which I'm not buying into the playing time just yet.
It's a good flyer, but I can't say now that it's going to stick because he played third tonight. That means Bregman was DHing, whereas their DH has been like a mix of Conforto, Amaya, and Carson Kelly.
Yeah.
So. And they love playing Conforto for a while there. I don't know.
That's really what it is. Like he'd have to take, if he's taking Conforto's job, I could see that. That's fine. But I to your point you just made is they love to play Conforto. So yeah. That's where I have a tough time with it. But I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, it's worth the chance, I guess. But I was looking to add people who I know are going to play, and I just don't know if he's going to play yet.
Yep, agree on that part as well. Couple more here. Victor Mesa Jr., the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays have 6 righties on tap this week, which opens the door for Mr. Mesa Jr., who pretty much starts every game in the outfield versus righties. Picked up in 16 mains, as high as 21, average of 7. Picked up in 9 OCs, high of 15, average of 4. Mesa, over his last 8 games entering Monday, he was hitting .381, 4 homers and a steal. He already had a home run on Monday to top things off. I mentioned him on the Fab Show and wrote him up because I'm like, he's 24 years old. He was one of the higher-end prospects at one time. Maybe he's figuring it out. It's a week where he's going to play all week. I was intrigued on Victor Mesa Jr. Not a lot of people were, it seemed like. But what were your thoughts on – I always want to call him Victor Mesa Jr.
that's his brother, right?
I think so, yeah. But his brother fizzled out, so we're going to go with this one. He earned the right.
So shout-out to you, Bubba. You did – get me onto Mesa a little bit, at least have me look at him. I definitely needed outfield or utility in a few spots. And when I went to look at the lineup tracker, he's a platoon only Mesa. There was a good matchups, like you said, for the Rays this week. It's 6 starts. Now it's 5 starts because it looks like it's Cantillo and Messick on the weekend for the Guardians. But there was that stretch back early July where Mesa sat Monday the 6th versus righty, then he sat Wednesday, and then he sat Saturday, all righties. So, and it's the Rays, so anything can so no one's safe for playing time except for Yandy Diaz, Aranda, Caminero, and it's kind of it, I think. I don't know who else. Chandler Simpson's playing a lot now.
Cedric has been playing a ton and he stinks, which is hilarious. He had a hot stretch. No, he had a hot stretch because I was rostering him too. And he's been like ice cold for like a week and a half.
Yeah. And DeLuca was the one who was playing those games where Mesa Jr. was sitting.
And the one thing I'll say to what you mentioned about Victor sitting versus righties, they had a stretch where they played almost all righties for a while. So I think they just had to get guys in the lineup is what it felt like also.
Yeah, it could be it. Because if you sprinkle on some lefties, okay, now he sits those three games maybe.
Exactly.
But at least he had the homer today, so I missed out on that. But I don't know. It's just – with the Rays, it's so tough because they fall in love with these guys and then they start sitting them. Like Mullins has been – not you mentioned Mullins is playing all the time, but he was sitting for a while, and then DeLuca's in and out. So it's a mess there, but worth the shot, and it's paid off so far this week, so I can't really hate on it, but I didn't – it's just tough this point of year trying to find solid PT. People are in and out all the time, and the Rays are the worst with it, so that's why I was kind of scared to try to add Mesa.
Well, let me see if I can talk to you about this PT guy. This is why I like looking at these mains and going deeper, because even if it's not an ad in the future, it's something to keep an eye on in the future. Masataka Yoshida of the Boston Red Sox picked up in 16 mains, high of 9, average of 4. Picked up in 3 OCs, high of 12, average of 5. I bring him up because like his last 11 games, he only starts for his righties, so it's very sporadic. But he's hitting 400 with 3 home runs. He's swinging like really well. Of late, especially over the weekend, we saw bright spots there. And the Red Sox faced 6 righties this week. So this was a world where a cheap Yoshida stream was in play for me in my waterfalls, where in the past I never even considered putting him in my waterfalls. So I just want to bring him up, even if there was no interest in him per se, because there wasn't a ton. We just talked about it. But these are the type of guys it's worth keeping an eye on over these last like 9 weeks of FAB that you can stream for cheap from time to time.
Exactly. And I think the big issue with Yoshida is he's util only. So there's a few teams that right off the bat can't add him. But there's no power for him. That's kind of been his issue. He had 15 homers in 2023, then 10 in 2024, 4 last year. That was a lost season, and then only 4 this year, and about a third of the season. So it kind of averages 10 to 15 homers per year. Good average, though. So you need average, and it's – I feel like in the mains, it's just a stream. I see it because of all those righties, so I can't hate on it. The Red Sox have been playing well, so you probably just want to get a piece of that lineup while they're hitting as well as they are. And then the teams are the Rays and the Blue Jays. You get Baz, Shane Baz, Bradish, Kramer, you Savage, Cease, Gossman. So it's not the easiest week at all for Yoshida, but. The at-bats will be there, so I can't hate on it. I understand the stream.
Yep. All right, going to mix it up a little bit here, talking about like money spent and whatnot. So let's talk about Austin Riley. Picked up in 4 main events. We know who dropped him in those 4 main events. High of 197, average of 145 for Riley. Picked up in 2 OCs, high of 37, average of 34. 3 games out of the break, he was so bad this season. 3 games out of the break, 6 hits in the first 3 games with 3 home runs, Ben. We talked about him a lot in the chat this week because Ryan had him available in his AC, did not win him there. What are your thoughts on Austin Riley, though, because you roster Austin Riley? How are we feeling, I guess, for those that spent the money to pick him up this week?
Well, I also sat Austin Riley this week.
I wasn't going to bring that part up. I was going to leave that to you, but I was going to make a joke that like someone dropped him in leagues and didn't get to experience the stats, and neither did you, but I didn't go there.
At least I say fab, though, Bubba. That's a positive. Yes. The little fab exactly. I have left.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, man. This is – and the funniest part was that the first one was off of Higashioka, as you and Ryan told me. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I don't feel as bad now. He hit it off a position player. Then he hits a 2-homer game on Sunday. It's like, all right, well, maybe he's back. I don't know. But historically, Riley's the best in the summertime, even though he's been horrible this year. So if you have that much fab left, God bless you. I know Phil got him twice, of course. In 2 of those mains, Phil Dussault. And he definitely overspent. He's been very frugal this year, Phil. So I guess it paid off in those 2 mains. I don't know how often you can expect to have someone like Riley dropped midseason like that, but it's paid off hopefully for Phil. Well, actually not hopefully, he's won enough. He can do without the good fortune. But I put Riley back in. It's this week where I have him. A couple DCs, a main event. So I don't know. He has it in him. The hitting coach passing away the last couple of years ago kind of coincided with him starting to slump, plus the injuries. So who knows how much it's been contributing to either one of those things has contributed to his poor performance the last couple of years. But I was willing to buy in on the bounce back, and maybe he has a great 2+ months, Riley. He has it in him, but if you have that much fab left, like Phil probably did, it makes sense to spend it now because who else is going to be available like this with this upside? So yep. I'm not confident he's going to keep it going, Riley, but he could. So it's worth the gamble, especially this time of the year. But it's just frustrating. Like, you finally set a guy and then he goes off. It never fails, but at least I'm not Santo. It could be worse.
Never fails. I'll give you some positive. Your boy Cooper Pratt just hit his first career home run. So
that's going to cheer me up. Thank you.
I'm going to give you something positive out of all
different
that.
Team, but same kind of situation.
Yes. Yes. Cause I've been telling you to cut him forever and you keep sticking along with him. And there you go. See,
I caught that little hot streak. So it kind of got the average back up there.
So there you go. Positive notes here. All right, Ben, if you want to pull up your ad drops from the week, we'll discuss those real quick. And then we'll head out of here on a Monday and go watch some baseball, where it looks like pitching is optional this evening on Monday night. My goodness, my ratios that have been going so well the last couple of weeks have been just torched as Ashcraft is now going up 8 runs in the Bronx. It just continues to get wild over there. But if you're ready, go ahead and tell us what you did this week.
All right. Very low spending in terms of dollars. So I contributed to those numbers that we read off at the start of the show. Listener League start is I added our friend Carlos Cortez back. I have him now on 2 teams. He's available in my other 2 leagues, so I could maybe go 4-for-4 next week. We'll see what happens. I added Cortez, dropped Edwin Arroyo 3-0. And then I streamed Drew Gilbert of your Giants, dropped TJ Friedl 2-0. Pretty good righty heavy week for the Giants, I believe, last I looked. New Jersey main event, I added Andrew Alvarez. It's a 2-start. Even the ones and cores, but I need to volume here. I dropped Ezekiel Tovar finally.
Well done. I dropped him somewhere this week as well. Yes.
Yep. 4-1 on Alvarez. And then this is where I added Mitch Bratt, dropped Nick Lodolo 3-0. So I said peace to Tovar and Lodolo. I am done with both. Main 3. This is the other main where I have Bratt. I didn't add him though. It's pretty low spending. I added your boy Ryan Johnson, dropped Nick Lodolo here 1-0. So just to have an arm with a little upside. And then the hybrid main, I like this ad. Hopefully it works out. Jacob Gonzalez dropped TJ Friedl 8-5. Gonzalez has good flexibility. He's probably going to get shortstop, but not that I really need on this team. But he had a pretty good debut with the Pirates. I think they want to play him. So I like this one. Hopefully it works out. And I got Gabriel Arias, dropped Jose Fermin 2-0, and then Javier Sanoja dropped Jorge Polanco 1-0. Polanco has been absolutely horrible. He sat 2 in a row, I think. Lubob's back. It's going to get messy with the Mets. They have Semien there. And I think they list him as a starter still, Polanco, but after those 2 games on the weekend, he said, as I said, you're gone. He's done nothing. So move on.
Yeah, I wasn't interested in Polanco one time, so I'm glad you made that move quickly, because I don't know if he's even healthy. It's just a weird dynamic with everything going on there with the Mets and trades coming up. We'll see how that all pans out. All right, for me, the Vegas Listener League 12-team league picked up Lane Thomas, dropped Ezekiel Tovar 7-6, picked up Brandon Sproat, dropped Javier Sanoa 4-1. Sproat was supposed to get a 2-step. That has been changed since then, so that's awesome, but we'll see where we go from there. My Vegas AC, I picked up Robert Gasser, dropped Blaze Jordan 33-29. Just need to keep accumulating pitching. And then I watched, like I said, my ratios get destroyed already with Ashcraft and Weathers having their home run derby in the Bronx. So that's fun. We talked plenty of Gasser earlier. I think he's really good. It's just a matter of will he stick. I'll take my chances versus the Road Rockies and see if he can put together another W along the way. In my OLAC, picked up the 2-step, courtesy of you, Jansen Junk. Dropped Blaze Jordan 7-5. So as you can tell, between last week and this week, Blaze Jordan I don't think he's on any of my rosters anymore. In my Listener League auction, picked up Griffin Conine, dropped Jake Cronenworth 12-5. Marlins have a ton of righties on tap this week, which really piqued my interest. And plus with the KC injury, Conine's playing a ton. He's swinging it really, really well. So I love the power we're getting from him. And yeah, the Marlins get 5 out of 6 righties, and it's like Herman Marquez, Walker Buehler on the weekend. And there's Romel Blanco, Imai, and Lambert to start. Like, Lambert's the best pitcher he faces this week. So I like my odds to get a couple dongs out of Konine this week. And like I told you, it's like one or two moves in almost every league, it looks like. And then in my B-Bubba OC, picked up Griffin Konine, dropped Aaron Nola 4-0 there as well, just to get stream a little power in the outfield for me. All right, Ben, we'll wrap it up there. I'm going to go make a cocktail after watching all this take place while we've been recording. God dang, this is depressing, but that's what we do here. Final thoughts as we head into week 19 of the fantasy baseball season. We are down to like the final 8 or 9 weeks to go.
Yeah, it's wild. I don't want it to end, but it's going to end soon. Yeah, just hopefully pitching calms down, because just looking at the box scores, it's been an ugly night. Joe Ryan got destroyed. Ashcraft, Weathers. Hopefully no one else, really, because I don't need that right now. Unless it's my hitters. I mean, my hitters need to wake up. So
it's a little that's the only bright spot, is I have the guys rostered that destroyed my pitching. So at least there's something positive there, but still doesn't help at all. So yes.
You got to tell them they're on the same team, Bubba. You got to talk to your guys.
Yeah, we have a conversation after this. You hit them off the bullpen. The bullpen. Come on, get it together. But we'll be back with you guys next week to talk some more Fab. It'll be a week 19 Fab recap. We're getting close to looking at the schedules down the stretch here as we are getting there. Ben Tidd's usual. I don't know if it starts next week or week after. It's getting close, though. So we'll get hopping on that pretty soon. But until then, check out Ben on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. I'm at BDIntric. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 868. Catch y'all next time.